You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Security Nation. Today, I am joined, actually, across the pond, my colleague Tom Rogers, who's the Director of International Marketing here at Rapid7. Tom, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Kyle.
You bet. Actually, the reason we wanted to do this was on the heels of you guys it's been about a month, actually, and who knows when this podcast goes up, but quite frankly, it's still topical. But InfoSec Europe happened, and for those who are U.S.-based and don't understand InfoSec Europe, this is really akin to RSA and Black Hat kind of together in a lot of ways. Enormous event, and just really at a scale that I don't know if a lot of people, if you've never been, it's tough to even imagine what kind of scale this conference is kind of about. But what I wanted to talk about, because I think you come with a unique perspective, and we'll talk about your background as well as we continue through the pod, but what's the buzz there when it comes to kind of the European market? Is it similar, different? Kind of what are you guys seeing?
Yeah, it's a good question, Kyle. I think, you know, the interesting thing about InfoSec Europe is, and you alluded to this, it really is the place for congregation within the European cybersecurity community, and in many ways kind of dictates, builds on some of the themes that have been consistent and also some of the things that we expect to see in the market over the next 12 months. So it's an interesting opportunity to meet some old colleagues, understand what they're looking at, and also look at some of the new vendors that are in the space. You know, I think it was somewhere around 375 vendors at the show this year. And for me, there were a couple of things that – there were three things that really kind of stood out. And I think the first was, you know, we're really starting to see a lot of increase in awareness and understanding and interest in this idea of an intelligence-led kind of security program. So the general perception being from the people that I spoke to – There's an understanding or an appreciation that a concept of just blocking, and when I say blocking, I kind of mean, I guess, perimeter technology, is unlikely to get you to a level of security maturity that you want to get to on its own. And people are really digging around trying to understand, how do I get more actual information? How do I put plans in place to respond quicker? And what is my approach to really getting better visibility across my network?
So, and when you say intelligence-led, because I know, too, that we see a lot of that, right? RSA, Black Hat, et cetera, and just vendor talk. And listen, we're as guilty as the next guy. We're two marketers. We can admit to those things. But when we talk about intelligence, like, what does that mean for folks, for the user that you kind of talk to?
Yeah. I think it means, you know, the general perception I've got is a couple of things. One is there is an appreciation that just the scale of some of the things that are happening, within the enterprise environment means security teams are struggling to get a good feel on what is actually happening on their network. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is to understand that and be able to analyze and interpret and act on that information in a disciplined and responsive way. I think those are the two key takeaways for me.
Okay. And then from the perspective, I mean, you mentioned vendors, and this is a huge hall of folks overall, and there's the common folks that we already know about. Are you seeing lots of new investment happening in security and startups?
Yeah, a couple of interesting areas for me that I took away, and you're right. Having been in the business for a while, I approach shows like this with my marketing and kind of industry head on, always looking to see what's different and what's new. I think a couple of key things for me. First one was, you know, we're starting to see certainly a kind of an explosion, certainly across the kind of the endpoint area. So noticed a lot of kind of new and niche vendors in that space, certainly more than we did this time last year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that kind of general area. I would expect there would be some level of consolidation over the next kind of 12 to 24 months as some of the stronger players start to see higher levels of adoption and some of these smaller organizations kind of fall by the wayside. But interesting to see the growth in that area. And then the second thing really was, you know, this whole idea of cloud and cloud security and how that fits in. And I think when we talk about some of the differences between the European and the US markets, my perception is that the adoption outside of the US has been slower. There's a little more hesitancy towards it. But certainly something that we're seeing now grow with an increasing pace, I think, as organizations accept that this is something they either need a plan for or I need an understanding of where it fits on their roadmap.
And so when we talked to, with the EDR market, I think it is fascinating to watch that endpoint market just continuously expand and get bigger and bigger from not only the amount of players in it, but the valuations that we're seeing for some of those players. And so there's got to be something that moves the needle when it comes to that. And really, it's funny, too, to see a lot of companies. I continue to see companies that we both knew 10, 15, whatever years ago who now are an endpoint player.
Right.
And they've positioned themselves in that way. And it's a smart move. I mean, it definitely is. I have a former boss who just took this, you know, a new marketing role at a company that, you know, I didn't even know they were still around, but they had technology that was on the endpoint more for IT operations and stuff like that, and they're, you know, they're going to redirect themselves to security, and it makes complete sense if you can, of course, you know, deliver when it comes to the actual product itself. But in terms of cloud, so this is the interesting thing to me, because I mean, and we've talked about this a lot in this industry. You and I have talked about this. Our teams talk about it all the time, and obviously, it's a huge topic. But for Europe specifically, is it about the security of the cloud? Is it about the data privacy? Is it about localization and hosting? Or unfortunately, I think it's probably, or fortunately, I shouldn't say that, it's probably all three.
Yeah, you probably summed it up quite nicely, Kyle. It's a combination of all three. You know, I think when we talk about, you know, Europe as a market, we're essentially talking about, you know, somewhere in the region of, I think, somewhere about 30 kind of independent states now, all with their own priorities and discussions around cybersecurity and harmonizing that into one broader set of guidelines around how we approach security and cyber risk is conversations ongoing. But it's all three of those points. There is concern around, you know, data sovereignty in certain regions within Europe. For example, in Germany, you know, if you're talking about providing cloud security, you really need to be providing the infrastructure within country to deliver that for the market to have a level of appetite for it. So there's a number of different regions and issues all rolled up into this wider kind of cloud security conversation. What I would say is, though, the general perception I get, and this is something that was different to 12 months ago and something I think is happening quicker than I anticipated it to, is there's a general acceptance, as I said, that this is something people need to be aware of and either have it planned into their roadmap or an understanding of why they don't feel it's appropriate for them at this point.
All right. So then I guess that begs the question of what happened in the last 12 months for those people to at least get to the point where they're like, listen, can you guys help us figure out how to make this happen? Because in a lot of cases, it's about changing policies internally so that they're allowed to actually send certain types of data to the cloud or even buy a product that touches the cloud, et cetera. But in your region, kind of what do you think happened in the last 12 months to make that shift? Because that's pretty fast.
Yeah, it's certainly faster than we anticipated. And again, I would say there's, you know, if you talk about, you know, Europe as a whole, I certainly would suggest that the UK as a security market, and the event you referenced was in London, so a very heavy UK audience. The UK, I think, is further along than some parts of Europe in their cyber maturity. It's probably closer to the US market than it is to a lot of other countries in Europe. I think there's a couple of things. I think the first one is, you know, security, certainly in the UK, is becoming a conversation similar to the US that's more around business enablement and is moving past those kind of traditional barriers, I think, that security professionals and security leaders faced. So the conversation around how does security enable our business? How do we start to deliver a true return on investment? And how do we make it scalable to support where we want to get to tends to lead itself to organizations looking more at solutions that are geared towards cloud. I think that's the first thing. And then I think the second thing is there is just a appreciation that the market is moving towards this. A lot of organizations in the UK are either part of or closely aligned to US organizations, so very cognizant of what's going on in the market there, and have seen that market, and you're in a better place, I think, to talk about this than I am, go through that transition and start to see some of those benefits on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does. I mean, I think you hit on really what it comes down to is the benefits. And this is security. This is the definition of where we are, right? It's just risk versus reward and what you want to do there. And so I think that people are seeing that, okay, if I do these different types of things, or I have these new products, or I have new features within a product, and that I get a bigger bang for my buck, if you will, and I become more secure and I can reduce my risk overall, and I'm getting something that I've always wanted, then it becomes a little bit more palatable, just like anything else. But I also think there's just a cultural shift happening, as we move towards a more cloud-based environment for everything that we do overall, and we've just become, we've kind of accepted it at this point. But, that brings in kind of, some of the regulations and the compliance stuff, and I know that we had talked about the GDPR. And so for those who don't know, it's the General Data Protection Regulation. And I think that passed in April of this past year. But it won't necessarily go into application until 2018 or so. But really,
yeah, I think May 2018, yeah.
Okay. And this is going to replace the data protection directives that had kind of been in place since the mid-90s overall. So, when you came back from the show and your team came back and we were hearing a lot of things about it, there was a lot of chatter about this. Is it just worry? Is it like, oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting one that, I kind of alluded to this earlier when we were speaking. This is really, as I understand it, and, I prepare to be corrected by anyone with a strong legal background or interest listening. This is really one of those areas where the European kind of framework have tried to come together to start to harmonize approach to this and deal with some of these inconsistencies across how different countries in the region are approaching cybersecurity. And it's a really interesting piece of legislation that you said has now gone through, but implementation is a couple of years away. And it's interesting in the sense that there's a couple of things that really stick out to me. The first one is, it's not just a technology piece of legislation. And what I mean by that is there are elements of issues around, mandatory data breach notification, which I don't think you guys have in the US yet. So there's areas around that. There's also areas about, what types of roles you have to have in your organization if you're a certain size. So, you're bringing in areas around kind of risk and compliance and roles that are focused on that. So there's a lot of conversation about it. I wouldn't necessarily say there's worry about it, but I think there's an appreciation that this is one of those areas that technology itself isn't going to solve. I saw quite a few vendors were talking a lot about how they could help with GDPR and things like that. And, I think there's a level of responsibility required from the security community here to highlight that, no one vendor or no one piece of technology is going to help you with this alone. It's a combination of technology, people, and process. And I think organizations are starting to realize that. And certainly those with, greater focus on this that are operating across the region are starting to realize the amount of effort and investment required to be prepared for 2018.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. And especially as, we've been talking about this, and it actually will transition me into another topic that I wanted to kind of chat about. But just the constant drone of vendor marketing when it comes to latching themselves onto a particular topic. I've been in security almost my whole career. You've been, I think, your entire career. And I don't know if there's an industry that does this as vehemently. Our colleague Matt Hathaway had a blog post just a few days ago talking about ransomware, which kind of is the next topic that I wanted to bring up because it continuously comes up in the news. And his whole, you know, point around that was, you know, a lot of vendors are doing the you know, kind of the, whatever you want to call it, ambulance chasing or disaster chasing or whatever it is. And when it comes down to it, it really comes back to good hygiene and backups and a lot of other kind of things. But you kind of hit on that with the GDPR of it's not just one technology. It's people, it's processes, it's all these different types of things. And I hate to see a market where, and I don't know if you see this as well, where vendors are just so vehemently saying that, you know, one size fits all or one solution, you know, one ring to rule them all. We can help with all of your kind of programs. I think it does us a disservice as a security community to do that. And I think ransomware has been the latest example of that kind of mentality.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with anything you said there. I was wondering when we'd get onto ransomware.
It took us a while, and then we're gonna spend 20 minutes on Brexit after this, so it'll be
right.
Good.
Oh, good. My second favorite topic. See, I delved into the realms of European law, and now you think we're gonna have a conversation about Brexit, right?
I think you're a lawyer at this point.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Ransomware. You know, I think you called it out nicely, right? I think about this in two ways. I think it is. You know, it's a very easy thing, and you said it yourself. You know, we are working in an industry that loves to make noise about the next biggest threat or the next biggest thing. And I think it is one of those things where, as a community, we have a level of responsibility to be providing relevant but also responsible information on about what the threat here is and how organizations need to respond to it. And I thought Matt summed it up perfectly. You know, if you have a robust cybersecurity program, if you have a roadmap in place, if you understand how to effectively execute on that, then ransomware is no different from my perspective to any of the other issues that are facing security teams today. So it's a little surprising. It has been a little surprising to me to see how much it has come up over the past 12 months.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the reason is it's sexy. It's a interesting topic, but I also think it's one of those things where everyone understands it, right? Everyone understands what a ransom is. At this point, most people understand what malware is, or they have some kind of concept of it. So the general public, I mean, I was at a party this past weekend, a bunch of people hanging around, blah, blah, blah. And some, you know, someone came up to me, oh, you work in security, right? It's like, you know, ransomware, like, oh, this is crazy. We're all getting hit. And he worked for a hospital,
right,
which we've heard, you know, I mean, healthcare has been a huge one. Because, of course, PII is just so valuable on, you know, the black market and the dark web, et cetera. But I think it's just in the voices of everybody at this point. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I joke of, like, this is something my mom is concerned about. And when it gets to that level, I think that everyone kind of then needs to talk about it. But, man, I'd love to talk about it in a different way and actually provide good input. And I do think Todd Beardsley and Matt have done a good job of that. And there's others too. I think there's plenty of others in the security community who have done a noble job of making sure people understood, listen, this is as scary as any other malware, but you need to, you know, do all the stuff that you do and make sure that you're, you know, backing up everything. And if it does happen to you, here's some tips and tricks to make sure that you're covered overall.
Right. And what's interesting about it, I don't know what your perspective is on this, but I think one of the drivers here, one of the reasons that this has become such a prominent topic, and you kind of mentioned it, is I do feel, and certainly from a couple of people I've spoken to in the security space, it feels like one of those topics that the business is coming back to security. And when I say the business, I mean kind of non-security areas of the business, because you're right, it's very newsworthy. It's very interesting, and it's got a general level of interest now that, you know, the people that I speak to are saying, you know, my business is coming back to me and saying, what is our plan for dealing with this? And what are we going to do? And how are we going to deal with this if we're victim to this type of attack? So I do get the sense there's some pressure there on security teams to have an answer or to be able to show a piece of technology that's specific to this.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think that people just need to give an answer to their boss in a lot of instances and say, here's where it is. And I think that it's up to us to help provide an answer that is a little bit more, processed and has that whole concept of it's not just one technology, but here you go, boss, or here you go, board of directors, whoever it is that you're going back to and saying, all right, I know you're hearing a lot about this. And let's be honest, this happened, you know, after Target. And then, you know, we had all these data breaches and all this stuff going on overall. And data breach was the thing. And now it's ransomware. And then it's going to be something else. And it's, I think, you know, that's where it comes down to us talking about it in a way that people understand it, understand, you know, hey, yeah, it's good to be aware of it, but don't necessarily be scared of it because I've done A through, you know, X things here to, you know, help us either protect ourselves or recover from this if and sometimes when this actually happens overall.
Right.
So, but I think you're right. I think, and that's an interesting, now that you said it, around, it brings it back to the business. And that we know is a huge driver. So here, you know, in the States, we've seen a lot more. I just came back from a CISO summit in Minneapolis, which is, you know, always amazing because Minneapolis has the most Fortune, I think, 1,000 companies in that small of an area, like per capita. So you meet with all of these CISOs from the big brands that we all know of. And I've been going to this event now for 4 or 5 years. And the first few years, I remember seeing someone speak, and I believe it was someone from U.S. Bank. I could be getting this wrong. But one of the things that he mentioned in his keynote was that he gets, and again, I'm paraphrasing, I'm probably getting it a little bit wrong, but he got something like 10 minutes every other quarter with the board of directors to talk about security. And this is 5 years ago. This year, there was a rep up talking, or CISO up, talking about from a large organization, very big healthcare organization. And he was talking about how he has a line item every board meeting now where they go through security. And so in 5 years, to go from that dramatic kind of change overall is the fact that security is now the business and people need to feel confident in the business. And that is directly related to feeling confident in the security and the whole, risk management program that's in place. So all that being said, are you seeing something similar? Is it different? Are the teams different? Is the way that it's communicated up and down, you know, around security different in Europe and then certainly in APAC as well?
You know, you, before we get on to that, you forgot the other great thing about Minneapolis, right?
What, the hockey?
No, absolutely not. The airport. Phenomenal airport.
It is a phenomenal airport.
And with the monorail.
Yes.
With the monorail.
Yes. Well, yeah. Anything that has a monorail, I think, is probably a place that you should go.
Exactly. Yeah. I almost missed my flight because I was enjoying it so much.
Just going around and around?
Like a theme park.
Right, exactly.
Perfect.
Yet I don't feel that way when I'm in Dallas Airport.
Right, or Disneyland.
It's kind of, well, yeah, but that has to do about my kids, but we'll talk about that in another podcast.
You got it. I think I would say, I think across the region, you know, and again, as I kind of alluded to earlier, you know, we're really talking about a whole bunch of countries all at different stages of maturity, but certainly when you are looking at what I would consider to be some of the more cyber mature countries in Europe and Asia, I would include countries there such as the UK, Germany, France, Japan, Australia, and kind of Singapore. It is starting to become more of a conversation which is moving outside of the traditional kind of IT and security audience. We are starting to see more of these types of roles of CISO pop up, or, you know, very senior people with a specific focus on security. You know, I think it's a little behind the US. I think we haven't seen as yet, over the last kind of, I would say 24 to 36 months, we haven't seen as many of these really high-profile breaches that are affecting consumers. So we haven't seen as many of the targets or the other equivalents that have happened. We are starting to see that more, though. So my expectation would be that over the next 12 months, security does become a bigger conversation. It is involved in more areas of the business. And certainly, you know, from the people I talk to, we're starting to see more interest in, helping organizations build their security roadmap, right? So, you know, the business is coming back to security and saying, what does your plan look like for the next 12 to 24 to 36 months? You know, how do we move forward and really start to prioritize this at an organizational level? And those all suggest that, you know, the general level of awareness and interest, certainly within senior leaders of organizations, is increasing.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, you know, so we've been talking a lot about the industry and those things, and your background, you know, you've been in security your entire career, correct?
Correct.
And so tell me a little bit about why. Why security? What kind of drives you to not only to get into it originally, but then to continue on as you have and build these teams that you have successfully over the last, several years. And I don't mean to say several as if you're unbelievably ancient.
Thank you. You're too kind. Well, fortunately, this is radio, right? If this was television, we'd have to be lying right now.
Right, exactly.
There's a couple of answers to that, right? The first question on what got me into security is a strange one. Probably like a lot of people in the industry, I fell into it by chance. Not necessarily a huge technology background. Left university, didn't have a plan, as I'm sure is probably sounding consistent to a lot of people that are listening. And ended up going to work for a very well known company called Sophos, or Sophos, I guess, is more commonly known. I've got to get my
therein is the greatest challenge for being the international marketing representative, right? Figuring out the pronunciation of the different company names and products.
That's why they keep me here. So that's good. And was there for, you know, 8 fantastic years, and then have been to a couple of other organizations before ending up here. You know, I think that the thing for me is what's great about it is, it's constantly moving, right? I think that's the thing I really enjoyed about the most. It's constantly evolving. I get to come to work every day with a ton of really innovative, clever people who are consistently thinking about how do we solve customers' challenges and how do we, really solve some of these issues that people are having. And I think, you know, it's really starting to get to a point now where it's becoming quite aspirational. And what I mean by that is, you know, historically security to me has always been kind of premised on a argument of fear, right? And I think, you know, we're really starting to change that conversation to, hey, here's how security can be a great enabler in your business, and here is how security can help take your business to the next level. And I think those are really exciting times to be involved in.
Yeah, I agree. It's been fun to watch the shift overall, though. We just talked about how sometimes we slip back into the FUD game.
Right.
As an industry, but I think that there's just more and more, mindfulness when it comes to not just marketing, but just like the sales process, the enablement process, the onboarding process for customers, like all of that kind of stuff, just realizing that a lot of these folks just want to have more confidence in what they're doing every single day. And right now, you know, without going back to the beginning of this conversation, without kind of the visibility and those different types of things, they just possibly, you know, it's just impossible to have at this point. So, well, Tom, we've ended another edition of Security Nation. And I thank you so much for coming on. This is our first international episode, and you were the first international guest. So that means something. I'm not sure what, but you should certainly feel free to put that on your LinkedIn profile.
Oh, I'm going to take it. I'm actually updating it right now.
Good. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with another episode of Security Nation.